This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. As the clouds seem to lift for the U.S. car companies with car sales and America's economy picking up, there are some who are looking further down the road and they're wondering if deeper, bigger challenges lie ahead for the companies who put the world on wheels. One of those wondering is longtime business journalist Mickey Maynard. She recently published a couple of pieces in Forbes magazine exploring what she calls the secret fear of the world's biggest auto companies. Mickey joins us in the studio. Hi, Mickey.
Hi, Cindy.
So what is the secret fear of the world's biggest auto companies?
Well, to use some automotive jargon, what everybody around the world, not just in Detroit, is worried about is called peak car. So that would mean that auto sales have basically hit the top level of where they're going to be around the world. So if you're thinking that 10 years, 20 years out, we're just going to see more and more growth of automobile sales, actually, there are some academics who are saying, no, we're hitting peak car right about now.
So we're saying for all those enticing new markets that auto companies are looking at, China being one of them, there's a point where they bought all the cars they're going to buy?
Well, it's not so much that consumer demand has petered out, so to speak, but that governments are starting to take a really solid look at what the automobile means to society. So if you look at China, I'm sure listeners have seen those pictures of the terrible smog. Mm-hmm. One of my friends at the U.S. Embassy tweeted a picture this morning. I thought it was fog. It was smog. Mm-hmm. So even though the Chinese government has been very bullish about the auto industry, there are some signs that environmentalists are saying we have an issue, and part of that issue is automobile. And then this is magnified in other markets around the world where you've seen unbridled growth.
So it's maybe not so much that the customers don't want them, but they may not be allowed to buy as many as they want.
That's part of the issue, but there is an issue in demand. And let me just explain that. Mm-hmm. I don't think anyone who lives in Upper Michigan who needs a pickup truck is going to swap it for a bicycle. I don't think people in South Dakota are going to give up their big pickup trucks or SUVs and walk to work, because how do you walk to work on a farm? Mm-hmm. But if you look at the cities around the country, young people who move to Chicago or who are buying lofts in Detroit are actually bicycling to work, walking to work. In many, many cities, there's incredible demand for public transit. Think about Detroit actually arguing to get light rail money. Mm-hmm. So you have this combination of environmental and social worries, plus more of a shift over to public transportation, plus young people who have big college loans, big debt when they get out of school. For them, brand new cars are not the first priority. Paying those loans off is the first priority.
So they might use, let's say, a Zipcar if they needed actually a set of wheels for an afternoon, like my son and daughter-in-law have done in Chicago.
Exactly. So what I'm kind of thinking of this as is not a resistance to driving so much as a resistance to owning. So if you go to another city, you might look around and say, you know what? I only live half a mile from work. Do I really need to have a car now? Can I live in Chicago without a car? We know people mm-hmm. in Boston do. Mm-hmm. We know people in San Francisco and New York do. But now it's kind of creeping into other cities. The other thing that's happening is the bicycle movement. I think Ann Arbor is about to get rental bikes.
I think, though, wouldn't you say that's way down the road? When I think of most of just here we are in Southeast Michigan, and I think Ann Arbor is different than most of the other communities. If you live in Utica mm-hmm. and you work in Southfield, you are not bicycling.
Absolutely.
And there's no real transportation that's public transportation. You have to have a car.
There may be, though, enough of an offset of these other markets so that you can live in Utica and drive to Southfield, or live in Birmingham mm-hmm. and drive to Ann Arbor. But if you live in Ann Arbor and don't leave Ann Arbor, if you live in Chicago, I think Toyota told me that they've identified 60 markets around the country where this reverse suburban to urban trend is going on. So, of course, we're going to sell cars. The question is, does the line just keep going up and up and up, or do we plateau? And that is the challenge for the car companies.
Talking with business journalist Mickey Maynard about her pieces in Forbes magazine, kind of exploring the long-term challenges facing the auto companies. And Mickey, something else you talked about in Forbes was something called the share economy is presenting another challenge. Describe that.
Exactly. Forbes had a very important story recently on this whole idea that we're not going to own things, we're going to share things. And certainly cars, as you just mentioned, zip cars, car sharing programs, anything that you don't have to own. You can see it in what's called Airbnb, the whole idea that you quietly put up a room for rent in your mm-hmm. home. And so no one stays in a hotel anymore. They they rent from you. There's this whole couch surfing movement where, which is a little scary to me.
Yeah, and I was going to say, I'm sure that's a small number. I wouldn't be looking for somebody, some stranger's bedroom when I'm traveling. I'm going to a hotel.
Right.
But I just think it's probably small. But do you really think it's a serious contender?
It's one of those things where if you think 10 years back or 12 years back, the Toyota Prius was just getting here. And people were wondering, would anyone ever want to buy a hybrid electric vehicle? Well, here we are 12 years later, and they've sold over 1 million of them in the United States. So it very much could be an incremental thing where you and I might not want to couch surf, but my nephew and your kids might want to couch surf. And then as people get older and they're used to this sort of sharing economy, it seems natural to them, the way going to TJ Maxx might be natural to us rather than, you know, going and splashing out on Fifth Avenue in New York.
So we're really looking down the road. Have you had conversations with auto execs about this?
I have. And I think there are two schools of thought about this. One is a school of thought that I'm crazy, that, you know, just as you said, if you live in Utica and drive to Southfield, you need a car.
Good luck.
The other is this sort of thoughtful, what do we become in the whole world where cars become like tobacco? I don't think it's that bad yet, but I do think that for some segments of society, now admittedly small, owning a car is like smoking. They don't want anything to do with it. So then if you're a car company, what is your role in the future? And that's where the whole issue of mobility providers comes
in. So what do you see their role in the future?
So if you look at all the car shows, if you look at Geneva is coming up soon, you'll see these crazy concept cars that Toyota just unveiled, a city car. They give us a picture of it. Very ultra low emissions, small, like the smart car. But they don't want to be left out of the discussion with cities and states and governments about transportation. You look at the driverless cars. The car companies would like to build those driverless cars. They don't want Google building those driverless cars. So they want in on the conversation. Whoever the smart companies are that get in on that conversation now, they'll be at the table when it begins in earnest.
Also, the technology for moving away from carbon, emitting fuels has to keep growing.
Right.
We know it's not where it needs to be now, but is that technology improves? Will that alter the situation?
That's going to be part of it. You know, gas prices are going way up really fast, and nobody knows really what's behind this current increase in gas prices, but people have limited budgets. People look at what they can skimp on, what they can cut out. You know, maybe we don't see people give up cars altogether, but they go from 2 to 1, and maybe for the second one, they do get a Zipcar. Avis just bought Zipcar, and Avis is a big rental company. So clearly they see something coming down the road.
Mickey Maynard, always good talking with you.
It's my pleasure. Thanks a lot.
Automotive writer and business writer, Mickey Maynard.